Okay, Baruch Haba Boyim, welcome to the seventh in our series of lectures on the Chasimus HaShas, the redaction of the Babylonian Talmud. A number of you have sent in important questions, but unfortunately Rabbi Sedley's printer is taking a leave of absence, or is on the sidelines. So, Emir Tashem, in the next class, next year, I will read the questions and give you the answers, hopefully, you know, provide answers for you. In any case, we want to encourage people to ask questions, ask kashas, critiques, criticisms, and comments, and that, you know, establishes a very, very important connection and kesha between me and you. Okay, now, yeah, you want to ask a question.
Yeah.
By the way, this is a live shia, so people are asking questions. Yeah, go on.
In the fifth shia, Rav mentioned that Masorah, the definition of Masorah was a hermeneutical continuity,
right.
Continuity of interpretation.
Right.
So I just want to know what the source for that was, whether you had a makor for that, or is that just kind of something that we created because it does suit our purpose?
Well, first of all, the source for that. Well, first of all, I mean, like this. First of all, three sources. Number one is, I mean, let's look what Masorah is. Let's look at the Gemara. Let's look at the Rishonim. Let's look at the Achor. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Let's look at the Kalim. I mean, what? How would you describe that? I mean, at every stage, people are, you know, interpreting what other people say. The same Chidushim. In other words, any person, any Talmud Chacham, familiar with, even after the Shas, the Rishonim, the Achrayim, sees that that's what it is. Okay, so in other words, I'm saying is that, if you believe in traditional Judaism, Masorah is HaMasorah B'Yadeinu, which means our Masorah is their Masorah, our Masorah is a miracle tradition, so their Masorah is also a miracle tradition. That's number one. In other words, I think that any person who is familiar with rabbinical literature, right, and who assumes that the tradition has always stayed the same, so by a phenomenological, empirical observation, the tradition is post-Chasimus HaShas, we're not saying that's what it is before Chasimus HaShas. That's number one. Number two, I mean, the Rambam Mishnah Sheni, I mean, clearly says, look at my article in the first volume of Yeshima, the Rambam Mishnah Sheni, and in the Parash Mishnayos, and all of his other, and also in Hilchos Bamim, clearly indicates that, in fact, actually, that, you know, most drushes were generated by Chazal. And not only that, the Rambam says clearly in Hilchos Bamim, in the beginning of Parag Beis, that a Sanhedrin can overturn the interpretation of a previous Sanhedrin, even though it's not greater than Chachma of a Minyan. So, in other words, what's called Masorah? Masorah cannot be passing down one thing from another generation because, right? But rather you have to say, as we see, as is evident, is that, in other words, one generation interprets another generation, either to argue or, you know, to reinterpret, that constitutes Masorah.
So when we have a Sanhedrin, that I can understand, but when we have that, where does that stop? How do we know what constitutes an interpretation or valid interpretation as opposed to, you know, maybe perhaps a rabbinic Judaism?
Because I think first of all, I think that, in other words, just as, for example, there's a very famous Tumim. I mean, everybody calls it the Tumim. I think in Tafak Kayin, it says that every possible Pelish one could, you know, insert or make hermeneutically inherent to the Hamoah. I think what's called valid authentic Judaism is that, in other words, the interpretation doesn't look for a higher critical, suspicious undoing of the text, but rather treats the text as what you call a canon with depths and levels of interpretation. In other words, so long as every succeeding generation exhibits the proper respect and reverence for the text, and understands that the text contains levels of meaning which can be brought out in every successive generation. So that's the authentic way of that their interpretation. Just like, for example, in other words, if we accept the Shita of Rambam, that the drashas are, for the most part, rabbinically generated, but the Yugim Abidas, as is evident, at least in the Perish Mishnayos, are halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. So in other words, what is the Torah telling us? What I'm telling us is that I'm giving you the procedure to interpret, the guidelines of interpretation. But you can use these procedures the way you want. As the Rambam says, a sincere Sanhedrin can use the Midas in a different way to argue on an interpretation of a previous Sanhedrin. So in other words, the question is, what is the methodology of authentic interpretation? So in other words, I can take a statement to the Gemara, and I can learn in different ways, so long as I'm claiming that, in other words, there's reverence for the text, and this is the pshat of the text. This is the meaning of the text. But if, for example, I say, well, this Amora didn't say this, he really was confused, and I really know what he's saying, that's a higher critical method. So that does not, in my opinion, qualify for what we would call authentic interpretation, and therefore that is unmesuring the thing. That would be what we call anti-mesurah. But, I mean, to understand mesurah is just simply the passing on of information. I mean, you have a problem. Why is there so much machlokes? Why is there so much, you know, why is there this hermeneutical spectrum which defies the notion of a consolidated mesurah which is passed down through every generation? The existence of all these things denies that fact. That's what I would say. That's it. And now, the fact is, I mean, I'm not, you know, we're sticking with yeshivisha material, yeshivisha language, and right? But, I mean, maybe in a few shiurim, maybe we'll go into actually modern theories of interpretation. In fact, the Gadamer, a very famous, wrote the, I think, the Truth and Method, understands that that's the nature of all interpretation. That, in the words, that in every generation, scholars delude themselves into thinking that, in fact, they can uncover the roots of a different age, thinking of different aids. But really all scholars are doing is just imposing their own prejudices on the text itself. So in other words, that's ultimately what all interpretation is that most people fool themselves. We, Baruch Hashem, at least in this year, we're not fooling ourselves. And this is in fact actually what interpretation is. So I think that's most people don't think of interpretation like that, but the Metzias is that is what interpretation is. And I mean, everybody understands. Ein Bes mentioned Lichidosh. The Gemara in Tavov in Chulin speaks about Mokum Hanuchalim in Ichlim in Hashemayim. In other words, there's a Shuvas Chasam Sefer on this. I mean, there's the fact is that Atem Nitzavim Hayem Kolchem. Shiyu Beinach Chadashim. What's Chadashim? It doesn't mean just Chazor when I learned yesterday. Chadashim means that Torah is being generated, produced in every generation, as long as the tools and methodology remain the same. That's called a continuity. Okay, fine, very good. Okay, now, what I want to do this evening, you can't see whether it's day or night here, but anyway, what I want to do this evening is I want to focus on a thing. I think, once again, every point I've made, I could bring more and more and more rayas. I mean, that would probably fill like 14, 15 volumes. Maybe a few hundred more shiurim on this website, we'll be able to do that. But what I want to do is I really accomplish in the shiurim is go through all the basic points and just prove the basic points. Doesn't mean I thoroughly prove the basic points. To really prove something, you have to go through all the sukkahs of shas and prove how it's true, right? But in any case, it's enough to get the basic ideas and show how it works that we get an understanding of the process of the redaction of the Babylonian Talmud, which we're speaking about. I think I've prove it, at least according to, in the eyes of Rishonim, that in fact the redaction of the Talmud takes place at the end of towards the end of the Moraic period, when in fact legal statements, legal decisions, or just more terse interpretations of Marayim are put together, from which is constructed a Shachal Vitalia, which begins with Ravashi. And ends about, maybe one or two generations after that in the Rabbanon Sabarai. I mean, I think I've made this evident from the Sugyas, we made this evident from the Yukim Rashi Ragoin. We brought many, many proofs that this seems to be the case. Now, the fact is that the important point I'm trying to make, the fact that is not so much that the give and take, the dialectical give and take of the Talmud was constructed at the very end, which is explicit in the Ramban, as we've seen explicit in many of the Rishonim learning the Sugyas. But this construction took place very soon, or immediately after, immediately at Tamar Vavashi. In other words, we shouldn't think, as Professor Halifni in his Makarot HaMasorah thinks, that somehow there's a black hole, a dark ages, a hermeneutical black hole between the age of apodictic, of what he would call apodictic halacha, which is Ravashi, and between another age called the Stamayim. In other words, Professor Lively understands why is it that the Gemara many times has to revert to difficult interpretations, what he calls Perushim Dechukim, forced interpretations of Umbar Chayim, which seem to, logically, seem to run counter to what the original intentions were. And Professor Lively says it can't be that if there's a continuity of interpretation, this thing would have occurred. Certainly, if we attribute the Shaka Batalia either to Rav Ashi or to the generation of Rav Ashi, or generation immediately following Rav Ashi, how can we account for the fact that the Gemara seems to have lost sight or lost knowledge of the original intentions of the statements of the Mohayim which are being interpreted? So therefore, because of this, Professor Olav Livni, what he does is he hypothesizes, I mean, he has no historical proof for any of this, but he hypothesizes the Svara. He's also from the Sabarayim. It's a Svara that, in fact, there must have been a period, a large period, a black hole separating Rav Ashi from the Stamayim. And this period of, you know, many, many years, basically all knowledge of the dialectic or the give and take was lost during this period. And therefore, the Stamayim had to go there and sort of like rediscover it. They had to rediscover it. It's like, for example, a person would go, you know, on an archaeological dig, and he's seen all these types of things, and he has to come up with a whole theory. Now, it could possibly be that if he went back in time, I understand according to physicists, it's possible through tunneling to go back in time. If it was possible to go back in time, and that's also machlokas in physics too, but if he was back in time, he might...
Sorry, I have to
bow,
but we need that table.
In the meanwhile, we're better Sheva, but anyway, in any case, in any case, in other words, if we went back in time, it could possibly be that we speak to the people and say, oh, you got it all wrong. Yeah, we didn't mean that. We meant that. You got it all wrong. You missed, right? So in other words, in order to come up with an explanation, why is it that there are so many forced interpretations, right, of the statements of Marayim? So it must be this Tamaic period was not only a considerable length of time after the time of the last of Mohayim, but in addition to this, there's sort of like this historical black hole, you know, black ages, where all knowledge was lost, and it's as if the Mayim were, you know, discovering these fossil records of these Mohayim, and, you know, Professor Lively proves that they got it all wrong, you know. Now, how is it that Professor Lively, after 1800 years, got it all right? That's big kasha, but in any case,
how is there a black hole from then? If it was,
he doesn't know. In other words, he's not operating. He's operating like an evolution. In other words, what he's trying to explain data. In other words, how could it be that I live the same generation as you, and I don't know what you're talking about, or I make a statement that's obviously not correct? For example, it brings many. We're going to go into these guys and meet some other lectures. But in other words, what he's saying is that if the Stam of the Gemara is a generation of Ashi, how could the Stam of the Gemara? How could, for example, the Stam of the Gemara not be aware? Or Rav Ashi not be aware of the conclusion of the Stam of the Gemara. And Yitzchak, for example, the Rabbis might, right? In other words, so now, we'll go into these examples. There have been several examples, okay? So I want to address this issue. In other words, now, I think that we've shown from the Micht of Shri Goyin that the Sabarayim were very, very close to the era of Rav Ashi. We've shown that. In fact, we've shown from Rashi, that even Rav Ashi himself began the Shaka Vatalia. So in other words, Shaka Vatalia begins during the tenure of Rav Ashi and extends right until Rav Shua Gaon called Rav Yaisi, who's Istayim Talmudah. So in other words, that's a period of only 50, 60 years. But of course, you'll say, well, who believes Rav Shua Gaon?
Much longer.
He doesn't give a period of time, but he pushes it probably another 100, 200 years. In other words, there's no question about it, he pushes it.
Well, actually, in
his three introductions, he's changed his mind every introduction. He keeps on pushing it back and back and back. Kupas will be like another three volumes, it'll be Chayza B'Shuver, and come to my conclusions. But in any case, the fact is that there has to be a considerable period of time where information is lost. It's almost like the horizon of a black hole. In other words, information has to be lost. No light can escape. Okay? Now, So
what question is Rav Chalitza
coming from? I like this. Now, what I'd like to either the question is, can we prove in the, from the text of the Gemara that this period of Svala, which I'm saying, began immediately with or after Ravashi? In other words, if I bring a sugya in the Gemara where Ravashi makes a statement, then there's a Stam, there's no proof. Because the Stam could have lived long after Ravashi. In other words, if the Stam makes a statement that seems to be at odds with what Ravashi is saying, so who is this Stam? This Stam can have been inserted within the text of the Kabbalah 100, 200 years after Ravashi. So in other words, I don't agree with Halibdi's proofs, even from the case of Stam Gabars and Ravashi, but I can't refute them because, you know, we have, in other words, I can't, you know, there's no way of proving that the Stam of the Gemara, right, is at or very close to the generation of Ravashi, right? Just like, I mean, given the fact that I've shown that the Stam of the Gemara is going to many Rishayim, is long after Rava and Abaya and all these people, so who's to say it's, you know, close to the generation of Ravashi? And I agree that the statement Ravina Ravashi Sefer Ra is not to be understood as such. Rashi and Rashbam to learn it as such. So the question is, where can I take a sugya where there appears to be a called anonymous give and take, a stam shakl v'talya, or not stam v'talya, a shakl v'talya, which is from the period of Svara, which for sure must be close or during the era of Ravashi. Baruch Hashem, I think I found it. Now, it's in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, and Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, and beginning of Ayin Beis, Amud Aleph. The Professor Halivni has not reached Avodah Zarah yet. He's only in Sanhedrin. So we'll have to wait for what he has to say when he gets to Avodah Zarah. But in any case, I think I found a Gemara which actually shows that the Shabbat of Italia of the Gemara was introduced during the time of Ravashi. Now, Rashi says in Pevav and Aleph. I mean, Rashi says that Ravashi himself introduced Shabbat of Italia together with Ravina. But, you know, we don't believe Ravashi. Who believes Rashi? And Rashi might just be, you know, Rashi might be, you know, might be following just the sheet that, you know, the Ravashi is is the Stam of the Gemara, like Tosfos does a Chula. In other words, I want to bring a Gemara now which shows clearly that Ravashi himself, right, after making legal statements, engaged himself in the Shakl of Italia, and the Shakl of Italia of Ravashi himself, before the Atzma, is Saisa, makes stilas, the statements he makes. And therefore, we cannot say it's out of evidence because of Ravashi himself. Now, if you're going to say to me, well, it's not Ravashi, it's Rabbi X, then, I mean, we're in Matrix. What's true? But in other words, I want to show over here that Ravashi can make a statement, and Ravashi himself can be engaged in a give and take, and the give and take can be a total contradiction to what Ravashi said. Now, we can't say that Ravashi forgot what he said. So it must be that the give and take, making forced interpretations, does not mean necessarily ipso facto that there was a period of historical time separating it from those statements. That's what I want to say. Now, how am I going to... Yeah.
You're going to assume if it's true here, it's true across the board.
Well, put it this way. If I can assume it's true here, so we could say that the existence of forced interpretations is not necessarily due to a period of forgetfulness is not due to a black hole horizon. And therefore, after that, we'll spend the rest of the shiurim toppling all the dominoes. Okay, fine. Now, what's the sugya? The sugya is a sugya in Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, Folio 71, Side A, in your Oscar edition, or in Sassino edition. There's a machloikas between a Meimal and Ravashi, how does a goy, how does a Gentile acquire something? In other words, I was speaking about Deir Isaac in the Torah. In other words, we know that I was speaking about acquiring a portable object, let's say a movable object. In other words, we know that according to the Torah, How does a person acquire a movable object, a portable object? This is a famous machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It's in several places in Shas. One of them is Nebzayinim and Beis in Bava Metzia. Another place is Yudgimel and Beis in Bechaya, etc., etc. It's all over Shas. Rabbi Yochanan maintains that a person acquires a portable object in the Torah through mamai. In other words, he gives its monetary value, and by that he makes an acquisition. And the Reish Lakish says, no, that minat Torah, a person acquires something through mishicha, meaning that he has to actually transport the object. And this is, of course, minat Torah. But the Rabbanan, Chazal say that Rabbanan made a gzeira according to Rabbi Yochanan, that mishicha should work and mo should not work. But we're not going to go into that sugya right now. That okay. Now the question is, what works for a goy? So the Gemara in Ayin Aleph and Aleph after the second Mishnah of Amoicha Yenu Le'Evik Chavim says, Omer Ameima Mishicha Le'Evik Chavim Koina. In other words, Mishicha is Koina for a goy. A goy acquires things from Mishicha. Then he brings a raya for the Pasoi. Avashi says, right? No, Mishicha is not Koina. It's a machlokes. There's actually a machlokes. I read the Gilsa. There's a big Taisvus here. I don't want to go into all the fine details and labdos. There's a machlokes of Meima who was in the door of Avashi. The Meima might have been a Talmud of Avashi. He was the door of Avashi. Between Avashi and Meima, what is koina by a goy? According to Meima, Mashiach is koina by a goy. According to Avashi, Mashiach is not koina by a goy. Now, this machlokes here, the Gemara in Bechayre says in Andaf Yugimel Medeis, Folio 13, side B in Bechayres. The Gemara says there, and this is understood in all the Rishonim, as we'll see in a little while, that the machlokes of how a goy acquires is actually linked, correlated to the machlokes of Yechon Reish Lakish. Meaning like this, based upon a drasha of a certain pasuk, according to Rabbi Yechonan, the pasuk indicates la'mi secha, that to your fellow Jew, the pasuk is mi'barayna, al seino ishas re'eyu. So Rabbi Yochanan learns that to your fellow Jew, you acquire something with money, but not to your fellow Jew, not la misecha, you acquire something with mishicha. And it's mashed the Gemara, which looks at all exactly the opposite. That with your fellow Jew, you acquire things through transport, and with the guy, you acquire things with money. Well, mishicha doesn't work for a guy. In other words, the machlokes, so therefore what comes out is, the machlokes between Amema and between Ravashi is linked to the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Meaning, right, that according that Ravashi was ipso facto hold like Reish Lakish. In other words, since Ravashi holds the goy is not cutting through Mashiach, it must be the Jew is cutting through Mashiach. That's Reish Lakish. That's what the Reisa. And according to the Meimar, it's only the opposite, right? Pun Fakel, it's definitely the opposite.
How can Ravashi hold like Rabbi Yochanan? I mean, Reish Lakish is three generations later. Four generations.
No, he ascribes to Reish Lakish. Rav Ashi ascribes to Reish Lakish. No. It goes the opposite. It begins with Reish Lakish and ends with Rav Ashi. It was Rav Ashi paskins like Reish Lakish. Rav Ashi says, since I hold with Reish Lakish, the Mashiach is kind of for a Jew, therefore it's not kind of for a guy.
So they're arguing who the Lakish is like.
Right. That's what comes out. In fact, right? So in other words, what comes out is that a Meima, and this is actually Mashu in the Rishon, we'll see the Tosfos in a little while. If you look, for example, the big Tosfos in Memches, Seif ben Aleph, and Reshem and Bezim Bab Metzia, we'll see the same thing too. That in fact, the Tosfos says that, in fact, Rabbeinu Tam wants the Paschal like Rabbi Yochanan, but the Rabbeinu Tam mentions, or the Tosfos mentions later, whoever edited the Tosfos, that in fact, Rav Ashi, who is Godel B'chachma V'minyan, and is Basroi, Paschal Reish Lakish, because Rav Ashi says that a Goy is, in fact, not koyde mishicha. Okay? That's the machlokes. Okay, now. Okay, the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara asks, you know, different questions, but it goes, the Shakalatai goes back and forth. And then, on Daf, Ayin Aleph and Beis, the Gemara comes to a crescendo. Ravina es akasha Ravashi. Now, once again, Ravina Ravashi are contemporaries. So the Gemara says, Ayin Aleph, Seifel and Beis, Folio 7-1, the end towards the end of side B. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Ravina is talking to Ravashi. In other words, the Gemara's not saying Tashima, da da da, Kash, you know. Ravina's talking to Rav Asher. You can't call this the stam of the Gemara. Amalei Ravina, the Rav Asher, Tashima, I'm gonna bring a guy against you. What's my guy against you? The Abba Rav Chia Ba'Abba, Abba Rav Yechanan. Once again, Rav Chia Ba'Abba comes up all the time. Actually, last two weeks it was Rav Chia Ba'Abba. There's this change in Gilsai, some say it's Rav Chia Ba'Abba there, but whatever it is. Who wants to say? Anyway, now, the Amar Rav Chia Ba'Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Ben Noyach Nerak Apachas Mishabaputa. A Ben Noyach, someone who's not a Jew, if he steals, right? Less than a puta, right? He's put to death, he can't give it back. Now, what's that mashma? I mean, if a sheikh doesn't acquire for a guy, why should he be killed? A ganav has to acquire something in order to be a ganav. So he brings, this is a reputation of Ashi. We see from the fact that he's killed in what? That in fact, that, in other words, we see for the fact that he's killed, that it must be the Mashiach works for a guy. Not the Kavashi. And then the Gemara is a tailor, at the end, the Rashi says, goes a Shmamina Mashiach, I'm based on Aleph. I'm based Rashi on Aleph. Shmamina Mashiach be Chavim Kodesh Mamina. At the end, the Gemara says that Mashiach be Chavim Kodesh Mamina. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, ask all the Rishayim. Tosfos Rin. So Rambam. All the Rishayim says, what's Ravina's Raya against Rav Ashi from Rabbi Yechanan? Rabbi Yechanan doesn't hold like Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi doesn't hold like Rabbi Yechanan. What's the Raya for Rabbi Yechanan? What could be the Raya? Tosfos Rin asked the Kasha. Tosfos and Chesed Bud Beis asked the Kasha. The Rambam asked the Kasha. Now, what's interesting is that there are different teirutz, I mean, the Rishayim. For example, what's interesting is that the Rebbeinu Tam was the Paskin, like Rabbi Yechanan, not like Rish Lakish. Rav Ashi Paskin, Rish Lakish. So the Tosfos at the very end of Chesed Beis suggests that actually, since we see that Rav Ashi gives in to Rabbi Yechanan's Raya, he changes his mind. In other words, the question that he gives in, the question is, how does the kasha, what a chutzpah is the kasha in the first place? I don't hold from you. The answer is, Ravina must have known that Rav Ashi changed his mind, and therefore he has the kasha. So, the fact is, what? Taisvas in Mabchasa Bebe. So, Mabchasa Bebe is in Bab Metzia. Should I make sure?
No, I believe
you. No, just make sure. You never know. Yeah, Mabchasa Bebe. Yes, the mother of Ashi had a bay. Kido Chiach Loi, Govina, but the Bible name is Shiva Gona. Okay. But does he still give an answer? This is a bit of Chayim. Now, like this. Now, the Ramban, who's one of our main men, raises the question. I want to read for the Lashon of the Ramban. I already answered the question. What's the Kash of Ashi in the first place? I mean, don't you know that Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi goes like Rabbi Yechanan. Okay, so like this. The Gemara says, Rabban says, okay. V'i kasha. In other words, Rabban first brings that the machloek, the dispute between Amema and Rav Ashi is continued upon Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. V'i kasha. The Amma le'avil Rav Ashi le'kamam b'shmaitit tishmam b'Rabbi Yechanan. Ah! How is Ravina asking kasha on Rav Ashi? Right? From Rabbi Yechanan. Yesh loyma dahachi kamale. This is what he's saying to him. Tashima, he's saying Tashima, mihad am Rabbi Chia bar Yechanan lekaimalan hachi da'alocha pasukihi. In other words, we hold. What's we hold? Who's we? We hold. There's a halacha pasuka. Rabbi Chia bar Abba, they've Rabbi Yechanan. Right? Since we hold that's the halacha, there's no kash on you. Now, exactly what does the Ramban say? What do you mean we hold halacha? Like, I mean, the Vashem is going to say he's going to shitasai. So I want to claim the following thing. Let's go back to Rashi in Pevov Ben Aleph. in Bava Metzia. Rashi said that, in other words, there was a time when all the Marayim basically produced, you know, their halachas, pronounced halachas. And then at some time, so like in the middle, there was a shift of paradigm. And all of a sudden, Rav Ashi began as in kashas, and Ravina too. Rashi says, Rav Ashi Ravina is not beginning as in kashas. I want to claim the following thing. I don't see really how anyone can argue on this, but the following thing is like this. The statement of Rav Ashi that Mashiach is not koyded by a goy. Tosfos learns it's not Rashi, it shouldn't be gorously oilam. Rav Ashi is saying a statement, Mashiach koyded by a goy. So I can imagine what Professor Levy would say. He would say, here's proof that the Gemara was not added to the Torah of Ashi. How could the Gemara not know that Rav Ashi doesn't hold with Rabbi Yochanan? So you could say that it's the Stam of the Gemara, but Ravina is speaking to Rav Ashi. I mean, the Gemara might be devious, not lying. Ravina is speaking to Rav Ashi. No, because if it's the Stam of the Gemara, the question, I can say the Stam of the Gemara was unaware that Rav Ashi, right, disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan. The Stam of the Gemara is 200 years after Rav Ashi, who asked a question on Rav Ashi. You know, to you, no, Eisvei. An anonymous question on Rav Ashi. So the Gemara, which is the Stam of the Gemara, the Stam Ayim, were 200 years after Rav Ashi. They forgot that Rav Ashi died with Rabbi Yochanan. You could say it like that. But here, Ravina is asking Rav Ashi. I mean, unless the Gemara is totally lying, which someone wants to say, but unless it's totally lying, right? So in other words, what happens is the Gemara is telling me, I can believe the Gemara is Ravina's asking Rav Ashi. So what happens is Rav Ashi says Mashiach is not koine, which is ipso facto like Larry Shlokish, and Ravina is a kasha, and Rav Ashi from Rabbi Yochanan. How do you explain that? Yeah, you can't, unless you want to say that Rav Ashi got amnesia or something in the middle of his life. This is not that. In other words, already you can't there say there was a period of time where the Stam forgot it. Unless you want to say that Ravina said didn't really say anything to Rav Ashi, it was made up. But I don't think anyone would say something like that.
Isn't the Ravina who is the Sofara a generation and a half after Rav Ashi?
No, it's Mashman Ravina is the from Rashi. Well, first of all, he's younger than Rav Ashi, but the Maizel Lashon of Rashi in Bava Metzia Pei Vav Men Aleph is Ravina Rav Ashi with contemporaries. He says over here, Rashi says, Ravina v'Rav Ashi sidu shmuos amorayim v'kol zeh mesachtes v'hikshu kushes sheyes la'ashiv. But the main thing, the fact is Ravina is, there are two Ravinas actually, but the fact is Ravina is a type of Rav Ashi.
Rashi doesn't say that.
In Pei Vav Men Aleph. V'hikshu kushes, as Mashu, they lived at the same time.
Do they ask each other kashas?
Why not? Who is it? 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 Who is it?
Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Later?
There were two Ravinas. There were two Ravinas.
So you can't say that the later Ravina was the one who was Sofara?
No, Rashi's Rashi not like that. Rashi says the body has kashas. It doesn't sound like that. No, I don't think so.
The Shiro
Dain
says Ravina and Ravashi, he puts the Ravina and Ravashi who were at the same time.
Yeah. So, like this. We can't say the Ravash. I mean, this is clearly Ravash. Is that the Stam of the Gemara? Is that the Stam of the Gemara? So what are you going to say now? What are you going to say now? You can't say someone fabricated a machlokes because Ravina is speaking to Rav Ashi. You would have said Eisvei. That's one thing. The Eisvei could be 200 years later because Ravina is speaking to Rav Ashi. So what you say, you have to say is the following thing. And it's mashma like this in Rashi, Pivov, but Aleph. That when Rav Ashi makes a statement, he's making a statement, we're still in the Tekufa, what's called Hayra. Terse legal statements. And the Tekufa that begins during the lifetime of Rav Ashi, which I think is Mashman Rashi, it's the lifetime of Rav Ashi, when people start asking questions, then it's different. In other words, Rav Ashi, and what's the Nafkbir? What's the distinction? Rav Ashi, as a Bezdin making statements, can reject the Mechir Ba'aba. And then Rabbi Yochanan. But then in the period of Svara, right? Somehow, the statement, the halacha, Rabbi Yochanan, cannot be rejected. No, we have to be, somehow the Gemara feels that there's enough consensus Rav Chiya Av Rav Yechon's statement that somehow one has to reconcile that with the position of Rav Ashi vis-a-vis Kenyan by a Jew. So, for example, there is a Ben Ochayim, that Taisus brings, not Rav Chaim Koyner, Ben Ochayim, Taisus brings in Rav Chesma Beis, who wants to say there's an alternative drasha in Bechayres, where in fact the issue of, let's say, Kenyan and by a Jew and a Goy are not linked to a drasha of the Pasuk. But what I want to say is the following thing. What's the pshat of the Rabban? The Kaim Milan, the Rabban is mashma, is that the sugya's HaGemara begin, in other words, Ravina's kashing of Ashi is what's called the sugya's HaGemara, the shat of the Gemara. In other words, Rav Ashi himself, by the Pasuk, but the sugya's HaGemara accepted, like the Rambam, we saw the Rambam in Tisba Beis and Shabbos, the sugya's HaGemara accepted the statement of Chiya Ba'aba, and therefore was entitled to ask a kasha on Rav Ashi. So, we see clearly that the period of Svara begins immediately during the lifetime of Rav Ashi. I mean, a Shamayim, it's true. So we shouldn't think that there's a black hole in dark ages separating the two periods. So, I want to claim, so in other words, so where does that leave us? Oh, it's a kasha. So, we have to say, we can say svaras. We make a svara to say, like a prior Rabbeinu Chaim says in Tosfos, then merely, perhaps the sugya's HaGemara is in fact, you know, adjudicating according to the alternative drasha in Bechayres, that the kinyan of a Jew and a guy are not linked exegetically through the pasuk. That's one thing. A second thing might be that we could say that in fact actually Rashi was minded. In fact, actually Tosfos is right that Rashi was minded. Rashi steps down. Or we could perhaps reject it and say because they were rejected, like the Ramban does, the Lachas like a Shlokish. In any case, what do I say here? What I want to say here is we see that in this sugya we can't say that a Pelish Dachuk comes because of a gap in history. It's all within the generation of Rashi. So what I want to say is this proves is that Perushim Dechukim had to be understood in a different sense. They had to be understood differently. Perush Dechukim are not misinterpretations due to a loss of knowledge, but they come from the fact that the Gemara is trying to resolve the halach. And resolving the halach, as we saw in previous sugyas, sometimes the Gemara tries to direct the statements of Marayim in certain ways, interpret certain ways, in accordance with what it feels to be the final legal consensus of the Gemara. That's what we have to say in this sugya. Now, I want to...
If Rav Ashi was Chosa, why did he leave his original statement in the Gemara?
First of all, you see, it could possibly be that, you see, what's called Chayrah, what's called Estayim Talmudah? I want to explain that the Shachatar of the Gemara doesn't make a specific statement. My claim is the Shachatar of the Gemara creates the basis by which the Rishonim, after the next generation come along, can adjudicate the Halacha. In other words, if it's a statement of Rav Ashi, then you can argue on it. If it's a Shachatar of Atalia, the Rishonim come along and interpret it differently. In other words, the period between Rav Ashi and Rav Yosi, right? They're not. It's not called Hayrah, it's Karev Hayrah. Meaning what? It suggests what the law should be, but it's open to what? To interpretation.
But if it's Ravina in Rav Ashi...
No, it's okay. Because once Ravina Rav Ashi is inserting this Shavatalia, it cannot be... If the generation of Hayrah is over. In other words, Rav Ashi can't bully his way and say, I changed my mind, or take it out. All Rav Ashi can say is that based upon the statement that I made in the Tekufa, the period of Hayrah, there's a question, there's a kasha, a contradiction with another halacha which is of consensus. That's the question, we'll leave it as such. It's kalev lahirah. In other words, kalev lahirah means I'm leaving it for the next generation.
So, even though Ravashi, according to Tosfos, was chozer, he changed his mind. But he left it in the Gemara because maybe...
No. That's where I disagree with you. When Tosfos says Ravashi is chozer, I don't look at it as a historical fact. I mean, they say it was chozer. I think what Tosfos is saying is, how am I now going to adjudicate the sugya? Am I going to say that Ravashi says uncle, dod, doit, whatever it is, and he's chozer? And that's what I'm going to learn. So therefore, I knock out the first statement. Or do I say no? Maybe this is an overreaching yeshuv like a Ben Ochayim.
In other words, Tosfos is making Ravashi chozer.
That's right. That's the shot. Right. In other words, what the shir has been over the last 6 years is how do we learn the Rishayim? Are the Rishayim scholars? Are the Rishayim Talmid Chachamim? I'm done it. Tosfos says we see clearly there's a din of chazor and Ravashi. But clearly there are alternative explanations. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So I think we have here a very explicit sugya.
Isn't it unlikely that the Ravashi,
what?
What we're saying is that Ravashi didn't present a resolution to.
Right, an economic. That's called Kol of Lahayra.
But it's a strange way of writing.
So like this. It is a strange way of writing. But first of all,
he must have had an opinion. Why would you want to establish that opinion and make it known?
All right, so first of all, there's two things. First of all, the fact is, I mean, if that's true, let's ask the question further. Why did Ravashi include any statement of any Amorim before him? In the Machlokes of the Gemara, Ravashi is arguing on Rav Chista. Why? Ravashi should have basically blotted Rav Chista out. In other words, the Shakel Vitali of the Gemara is called Kala Vahira. The purpose of the Gemara was not to adjudicate in many marriages the Halacha absolutely. Even when it says Hilchasa, most people are depicted that's from the Hilchos Gedolos. In other words,
so we know why. I mean, the Mishnah tells us why the redactors of, for instance, the Mishnah include the shita that's been
right because you want to be so mechanas yachid.
Okay, right. In other words, you want the opinion to survive.
Okay, so I want
it's necessary. It's part of the process.
So
someone's own words, my own words. I can't say one thing and say something else and then say to the next generation, go figure it out.
No, because in my next generation, what I'm doing is I'm not acting now. In terms of Ayra, in the declaration, I'm acting now in the Shaka Vitalia. But now I'm giving Shaka Vitalia.
So I can see that in Shaka Vitalia, where you're collecting the Shaka Vitalia of other people, others.
Ravashi began the Shaka Vitalia.
I understand, but he himself, I mean, in his own base medrash, he must have had some resolution on this Shaila.
No, it could possibly be that afterwards, let me give you an example. In the Gemara and Chavtes ben Aleph in Brochus there. Rabbi Gamliel makes a statement, and then there's a whole Shaka Vitalia, and Lo Haya Halach Shalat Tluya, the Gemara says. So what did Rabbi Gamliel want to have? You know, like this. In other words, in that Gemara to in Brochus, Chavtes ben Aleph, right? There, Rabbi Gamliel is basically, you know, states what Halach is in all cases. The Machlokes there is Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rishus, and what they do is they take away the bounty from the Sanhedrin. Everybody comes in, and the Gemara says, Lo Haya Halach Shalat Tluya. There wasn't a halacha that was left hanging, meaning that what? Everything was resolved. And what happens is the Gemara raises the question, Rabbi Gamliel gives an answer, Rabbi Yeshua knocks him dead. What's the pshat? What's going on? There's also a change of tekufa there, within Rabbi Gamliel's lifetime too. In other words, so what happens over here too? In other words, but it could possibly be in the Gemara, there wasn't an absolute resolution, that would be called Hayra. This called Hayra. After collecting the statements, the Baraim began to give a take on them. And that's called a redaction of the shas. The Rishas was not redacted. I'm using Rishu Goy's Lashon. The Rishas was not redacted, making absolute legal statements in all cases.
Rishu Goy links the Ravina Ravashi Seif Eirah. He implies that has to do with the death of Ravina Ravashi.
With the what?
With their passing. That means that during their lifetime, they were still Isaac and Eirah.
So I disagree. No, no.
Ravashi's name is not
in there. No, I disagree with you. First of all, we see in Rashi is not true. And I don't see a steer to Rishu Goy.
Fair, she says. He says that when Ravina died, that's
Seif HaRah. He says when he died was
Seif HaRah? Ramesh says when he died. He says that he gives the date that he died. Shalchei Ravana Avina Bar Rei Darbuna.
Okay, let me be dyke a little bit more. Okay, I hear what you're saying. No. I hear the objection, but since Rashi says differently.
Who said that? Rashi said
that. First of all. What? No. It could possibly be the Kabbalah was only. In other words, it could possibly be the Kabbalah was only Seif HaRah. In other words, Ravina passes away, and he's the last person. It could possibly be the infant that Ravina also been Hayra. But Hayra begins with, look, I mean, it's not making a machlus or Shira going. Taisi such a whole time for Ravashi. In other words, instead of making a machlus Rishonim, I could say that, in other words, Ravina and Ravashi were the last people to make Hayra. After Ravina and Ravashi, no one make Hayra. But the Shalom of time began at the time of Ravina and Ravashi.
Okay, so then you could say that anybody's statement is not Hayra.
What?
Then you could play around with anybody's statements in the Gemara and the Mishnayos for that matter.
No, it's not true, no! Rashi says clearly in Pevov of an Aleph, the Shalom of time began with Ravashi. Rashi says that. No Rishon is claiming that the give and take began before Ravashi. The Tosfos holds it's Ravashi. Rashi says it began with Ravashi. And the Ma'aseh that we've seen in the Ramban or the Rishonim, it certainly was post-Ravashi. And Oshio Goyin says that after Ravina Ravashi is Tayim Talmudah. It's Koyim Lahayra.
Tayim Talmudah is later, that's
no, but he says after that there wasn't Hayra, but there was Koyim Lahayra. What's Koyim Lahayra? I claim Koyim Lahayra means it's not a definitive legal statement, but it's a give and take that seems to imply a conclusion, but of course, it's not definitive. You can interpret it either way. That's what I want to claim. I wanted to claim there's a right from the Gemara Sanhedrin, Lamed Gimel Bar Aleph, 33 side A. The Gemara speaks about what's called Toyev Dvar Mishnah. The Gemara gives different examples. It says the Gemara, my memory isn't serving properly, but since the Gemara says, you have a machloikis of two a rabbonim, or a moroyim, and the give and take of Gemara is according to one of them. I claim that's called Korv Laira. In other words, no one's making a definitive statement, but what? The chiddush of the Gemara is that the shaka b'taya goes according to what Amayra. And based on that, I pass it like that. That's called what? Torah v'mishnah, if I make a mistake in that. It was what the Gemara is saying. This about chalos to Amayra, that's Hayra. And then the shaka b'taya, according to what Amayra, that's Karv Hayra. And the chiddush of the Gemara is that also can be considered to be a Torah v'mishnah. So I don't see where it's necessarily a steal. But even in other words, even if I say like a sure going, I mean the fact of Vina said to Ravashi, I mean somebody that makes madras afterwards, like Marema, could have said Vina's Ravashi. The fact is that I think that Amalei Ravina to Ravashi was said, I think during the time of someone was living during the time of Ravashi, who was Ravina asking Ravashi, and this clearly contradicts Ravashi's opinion. So we see that the give and take was within the same period of time. That's what I think. In any case,
how do we know the Shmami in the whole Shaka B'taya in the Gemara is still Ravina speaking to Ravashi?
That might not be, but the Kasha from the Kasha Rabbi Yechonon, you have the problem. I anticipated that statement of yours. And a chanamim. I know the rest is a stam. But when Ravina brings the raya to Rav Ashi, Tashima, already I have the problem of forgetfulness. And a chanamim. The Shema Mina may be 50 years after that. But the kasha of Ravina, Rav Ashi, right? Already says Dao Shaini. And Professor Olympi was to say that what? That from the Kasha we see clearly, it must have been after Ravashi, so he'd have to say that maybe there's two Ravashis. Or some person made up a fictitious Ravani Ravina. Now, the Ramban does say like that, but it's within the stam of the Gemara. But the Gemara wouldn't say, Omele Ravina Ravashi. Like the Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Dalet says, Hiksha, Esfe Abaya, Hiksha Abaya. On the sugya, but it wasn't the Amalei Ravina to Ravashi. Unless the Gemara is a total liar.
Why can't the redacted Talmud be superimposing, synthetic?
He wouldn't say Ravina Ravashi. He might say Eisvei in part of a Stam Gemara. He wouldn't say Amalei Ravina Ravashi Tashima. The Gemara suggests Ravina is asking Ravashi this question.
We said already that Talmud could be just synthetic kind of.
It's true, but that's if there's an anonymous thing, the Gemara, an anonymous thing. But here it's a dialogue. A says to B. If the Gemara says Aesfe, who's the Aesfe? You know who the Aesfe is. That's the anonymous, the redactor. Or the Gemara says Ella Omar Rav Ada. That's an anonymous redactor. But Omaleo, Bilo Avashi, they're speaking with each other. You'd have to consider Chazal to be totally devious and crooked and malicious. I mean, Einstein says, you know, God, you know, he's not malicious. The universe is difficult, not malicious. You don't have to be malicious. So what I want to claim is that you can't say that Perushim Dechukim, at least from this Sugya, we can't say the Perushim Dechukim are due to some type of a dark ages in historical hermeneutical continuity, but we have to say the Perush and the Chukim are part of the methodology of the redactor of the Shas in trying to arrive at what he feels to be the consensus, the final consensus of the Gemara.
Something Ravashi is doing a very strange thing. Well, I mean, previously, until that point, we have various, like, Rabbi Yehuda says X, Rabbi Meir says Y, and then the one who compiles the Psak Halacha for future Meir Hera, he brings both of those shitas. Why? Because that's to sustain the entirety of the discussion.
Right.
But for one individual to be issuing statements that are contradictory for that purpose is odd. It's strange.
That's true. But on the other hand, though, I think it's important that. So I agree with you. It's strange. But on the other hand, though, I think that the purpose, in order to ensure continuity, Maseira, the paradigm had to take place within the life of one individual.
So they're all saying that Ravashi saw himself as the one who's, besides for bringing together all the different shitas, he also saw himself as, when I say something, I'm reflecting some shita, and therefore if I say, I can say contradictory things because that's my role in history.
That's right, economic. Just like I feel that, you know, Rebbe, when he redacted the Mishnah, you know, I mean, the Gemara, I mean, look at Baruch Rishiva in the Gamal Gimel Beis. Rebbe is called Gemara, even though Rebbe redacted the Mishnah. He redacted the Mishnah in order to create Gemara. In other words, why did Rav Ashi collect the statements in order to create a dialectic?
So he saw himself as a cog in
a. And a chanami, right? In other words, the person who collects things is the person who creates the text for the dialectic.
So he's allowed to issue statements that don't have to necessarily.
And a chanami, right? That's right. That's it. That's exactly it. And from this we get a muna that there's a Meseira in the Halacha. Anyway, we will stop over here for an undisclosed location, within an undisclosed
we're
location.
We're around the corner from the undisclosed
location. Right, we're around the corner from an undisclosed location, Yerushalayim. We bid you a good evening or a good morning, New York. And Im Yitzhak Hashem, we will continue next week. We will.